Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Between the Records by Julian Tepper, forward by Britt Daniel, read by Julian Tepper. To my father, this book is lovingly dedicated. Author's note. Though a work of fiction, the music created by the characters in this novel is based on the work of the music group The Natural History and their record, The People That I Meet. While you live with this book, you are encouraged to listen to that record, available on vinyl through the publisher and on all music streaming formats. Chapter 1, Hollywood Boulevard, 1987. Dad and his new wife, Elena, were living in a one-bedroom apartment in Hollywood. Mattress on the floor, filthy bathroom, clothes everywhere, dishes stacked in the sink. The front door opened onto an outdoor corridor overlooking a tiny fenced-in swimming pool. The other tenants were a mixed bag of Sid and Nancy's and Ike and Tina's. Adam and I had been warned not to go out onto Hollywood Boulevard, too many junkies, muggers, and prostitutes. Dad said he and Elena didn't plan on staying long, that they would get a proper apartment. You just couldn't beat that $125 weekly rate, and it was all they could afford now. In a few months, he would start seeing royalty checks from his first record, which had just gone gold, but it took time for that money to funnel through all those pipes into his account. He said that the next time we came out to see him, we should expect to go to sleep to the sound of something other than alley cats and heat. Dad spent the daytime hours behind the bedroom door writing his second record. He didn't come out, not to eat or stretch his legs or say hello. He had a coffee maker and perhaps a sandwich and a bottle of pills or a bag of blow in there with him. My brother and I would put our ears to the door and listen to him play, but to make sense of the unformed songs through the thick wood separating us was impossible. He was stopping and starting and picking up at odd places, rewriting words one moment and testing new melodies the next. I imagined his chest leaned over the curved upper half of his Gibson acoustic, his long black hair held back in a rubber band, a writing pad pinned between his right thigh and the guitar, his left hand up on the guitar neck, a pick between his teeth and a pen behind his ear and a tape recorder on the desk just in front of him. Every few minutes he moved from the chair to the windowsill, then to the bed and to the edge of the desk, before returning to the chair and scribbling down another line or two and crossing out others. He smoked a cigarette and listened back to the tape, recorded a new version of the same track, and then moved on. At the end of a day, he emerged looking worn out, unwell. This evening, after yet another full day of writing, his fourth since our arrival 5 days ago, Dad went straight from the bedroom, out the front door, had a swim, came back, showered, put on a bathrobe, and then dropped down onto the couch and began staring at the television. He put his arm around my older brother. "How's it going, Adam?" "Hmm? You're bored," Dad said. "Yeah." "You too, Jules?" "What? You're bored too?" "Yes." "Well, that's great," he said, "so you're both bored." Our attention shifted back to the television. Bugs Bunny. Dad, skinny and strung out, red-eyed, began accusing us of a failure of imagination. There was a pool outside, he shouted. The sun was shining. If he were our age, he would have spent the whole day in that pool, under the sun, and he would have been happy about it too. Did we know what our problem was? We were spoiled. We got everything we wanted from our mother, and we didn't know how to appreciate anything. Fortunately, Elena came out of the bathroom and started to defend us. "The kids just want to see you, Walter. They have a right to be upset. They came all this way. Give me a break. They are seeing me. Here I am." Dad held his hands out to the sides. "They were in the pool all day. It's 6 o'clock, Elena said. "They want to do something else, something with their dad. I know, you want to go spend my last $100 on dinner, a dinner you won't even appreciate because you don't appreciate anything. Calm down, you're freaking out and you're making things worse." "Oh yeah, am I? Just get out of here, Walter. Come back when you've pulled yourself together." Dad only had to be told once. He put on his leather jacket and slammed the door behind him without a word. Elena didn't run after him. She took a seat on one end of the couch next to Adam, shaking her head. Her husband, our father, was crazy, she said. He had no self-control. He wasn't good at saying what he needed. It was idiotic, childish. Now he was out there on Hollywood Boulevard, furious, in pain. Elena was 24, from Stockholm. She had been in the country for just over 2 years and married to our father for 7 months.